It is so good to see all of you here this evening as we engage in a period of Bible study with one another tonight. I want to invite you to go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37, because this is where we're introduced to many people's favorite Bible character. In fact, just recently when we were doing a Devo and Donuts on Tuesday morning, I asked our gentlemen if they would tell me their favorite Bible character. Who was their favorite male Bible character? We did favorite female Bible characters, and next week we did favorite male characters, and several of the men mentioned that their favorite Bible character was Joseph. And it's certainly somebody that we want to pay attention to and think about. Now, I'm going to be delivering this lesson again tomorrow evening at Union, so you're invited to come and hear it again. And I'll tell you that you may not want to, I don't know, because they've given me an hour tomorrow evening. So I don't know how this is going to go tonight, y'all. I mean, I'm going to do the best I can. You're probably going to get a little snippet of what I'm going to expand and do for a full hour tomorrow evening, but hopefully the lesson that we'll get tonight will be beneficial and helpful to you in your walk with God. The title of our lesson this evening is How to Make Your Dreams Come True. How to make your dreams come true. In Genesis chapter 37, when we are first introduced to Joseph, we're given a little bit of background information concerning the relationship that he has with his father. It talks about his age at the time that he's mentioned here, 17 years old, that his job was to help to pasture the flock with his brothers, and his father had sent him over to see his brothers. But we get a little bit of background into his relationship with the brothers and with his father, and we're told several things about him. We're told the fascinating truths that he was the favorite son of his father, the son of Israel's old age. Now, if you go back into scriptures and you do a little math and some figuring, as we like to say down here in the South, you're going to find that Joseph was actually 91 years old when Joseph was born. So he truly was the son of his old age. And then Benjamin came after that. So we're not exactly sure how old Jacob was when Benjamin was born, but we do know that he was 91 years old when Joseph was born. And so he loved Joseph so much. He provided him with that coat of many colors. But we also understand that Joseph sometimes alienated himself from his brothers with tattletelling and with outlandish dreams. Or were they? You think about your childhood. If you had younger siblings, you know how this story goes. You know how that whenever you and your siblings are interacting, oftentimes the older sibling is going to get tattled on. They're going to go and tell mom and dad what all it is that they've been doing, and Joseph was no different as a younger brother. He went and gave his father all the information he needed to tell on his brothers, and that alienated them. They didn't like him a lot at all. In fact, you come to understand just exactly how much they didn't like him very early on here in Genesis chapter 37, when they decide that they're going to throw him in a pit, and the plan initially is kill him. I mean, that's how much they disliked this brother. They wanted to kill him. It was only through some reason by a few of the brothers that his life was spared, and they put him into the pit, and eventually he was sold into slavery. But here, when we are first introduced, in this very first chapter, we're going to read about some outlandish dreams that Joseph had. And again, I want us to think about how to make your dreams come true. Let's read about these dreams for a moment. It says, Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. His brothers said to him, Are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow down ourselves to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Now, you know how this story ends. You know that these dreams came true. They came true. His brothers bowed down to him. His brothers were in submission to him. He ruled over them. And he ruled over his father when his father came to Egypt. You know how the story goes, and you know how this plays out. His dreams came true. Now, I use this title as a little bit of a play on words because I want us to think about how we can make our dreams come true. And I want us to think about this in relation to the dream of one day being able to go home to our Heavenly Father and enjoy the blessings and the riches of heaven. And I believe that if we'll study the story of Joseph and find out how it was that his dreams came true, we'll find that our dreams one day will come true as well. So the first thing that I want us to introduce is this. You can make your dreams come true by giving God the guiding duties for your life. Giving God the guiding duties for your life. When you go over to Genesis chapter 39, we are reminded of this horrible story about Joseph and Potiphar's wife. And you know how that every day she tried to get him to do something that was not pleasing to God, that was offensive to everybody and would have been offensive to his master, offensive to the household. It would have been offensive to his God. It was offensive. And she kept pressing him to do this horrible, wicked, evil thing. And every time he refused her. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. My master has left everything in his household in my care, in my charge, and I'm not going to do that. And I'm certainly not going to do this and sin against God. Now, let me tell you what that says about that young man. He had depth of character. And he trusted God and understood his will. And that tells me that his father must have been involved in his life bringing him to this point. I mean, when he was sold into slavery, he was 17 years old. How many of you feel like you've done enough instruction and teaching of a 17-year-old for them to be sold into slavery into a foreign country and come out smelling like a rose when it comes to their character and their integrity and their commitment and dedication to God? I mean, I love my children, and I know you love your children, but that scared me to death. Have I done enough to give them the instruction and the guidance and the understanding of God's will so that if they were ever put in a situation in a foreign country where they were compromised and asked to do wicked and evil things, that they would have enough dedication and commitment to God Almighty that they wouldn't do it? You think about that. He must have been brought up to trust God and to understand His will completely. Because he says, listen, I'm not going to do this atrocious behavior and sin against God. I'm just not going to do it. And he refused every single day. And when she finally pressed upon him to do that, he fled. He did exactly what Paul tells us to do in the New Testament, flee fornication. You get out of there. You run away from it. And how many people are strong enough to do that? And now we're dealing with a young man here who's been sent away from his family and his home, put in this foreign circumstance with people who do not have a belief in Jehovah as he does and a trust in God like he. And he's going to behave that way? He gave God the guiding duties for his life. He said, you know what? I'm going to trust that you're going to lead me in a way that is best for me. And I hope that all of us can have that same attitude, that same belief, make that same decision to say, God, I'm turning it over to you. You know, you used to see those bumper stickers that people had on their car. God is my co-pilot. And you've heard people saying that, no, he's not my co-pilot. He needs to be the pilot. He needs to be the pilot. God needs to be the one guiding us. God needs to be the one giving us our direction. And how much do we trust him to be able to do that? And will we do it? So if you want to make your dreams come true, you let God direct you when it comes to the things of your life. Number two, You can make your dreams come true by giving God the glory for the accomplishments of your life. The accomplishments of your life. That's the one thing that I love about Joseph. You go to Genesis chapter 41 and verse 16. And here we find where that Joseph is interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. And whenever he does so here in verse 16, listen to what he says. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. So here is Pharaoh saying, listen, I've heard a lot about you. I've heard that you have the power to interpret dreams. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. It's not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. God is the one that has the power. I'm really nothing. I'm just an instrument that God uses. And He's the one that reveals the secret. He's the one that gives the interpretation to the dream. It's not me. Now think about that for a moment. Here is Joseph who has been stuck down in a prison. He has been lifted up. He's probably, like many of us, would like to have done something to impress Pharaoh so that I don't get sent back there. So when Pharaoh tosses him a softball, puts it right there on the tee for him to knock it out of the park and say, hey, listen, I've heard great things about you. There was his opportunity to say, well, thank you, sir. I really appreciate that. I'm glad that my reputation precedes me and that you think highly enough to call me out of the pit. I'll do my very best to help you with your dream. No, that's not what he said. He didn't make it about him. He said, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. I'm going to give God the credit for everything that I accomplish in life. And I think that we all need to do that a little bit more. I think that we all need to be humbled. I think we all need to appreciate the good blessings that we receive from God and recognize, according to James chapter 1 and 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Folks, the blessings that you get in life, they are from God. And thank Him for them. And give Him credit for the accomplishments that you have in life. Thank Him. In Genesis chapter 45, verse 9, if we turn over to that particular passage, says, here is Joseph as he is finally getting an opportunity with his brothers, with his family. Listen to what he has to say in verse 9. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. How did I get this position? Well, you know, I made some good decisions in my life. I got a good opportunity, had a good break with the butler there in the prison when I interpreted his dream, and he set me up so that I could be introduced to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh has lifted me up out of that pit, and he has brought me here to this position, and he has set me as second in command. I only answer to Pharaoh. I mean, Pharaoh has put me in a great position, right? That's not what Joseph said. Joseph didn't attribute his success to Pharaoh or to the butler or to the break. He said, God has put me here and made me Lord of all of Egypt. You want to make your dreams come true? Give God the glory for the accomplishments of your life. Say, I'm here because of God. And whatever it is that I've done in my life, it's because God has been with me and blessed me, and I give Him all the praise and the glory and the credit. So you can make your dreams come true by doing that. Number three, you can make your dreams come true by giving God the griefs you feel in life. Giving God the griefs you feel in life. This is probably where I'm going to spend the most time tonight. I don't know why, but as I was reading through this story, this part of it really spoke to me a little bit more than even the other parts as I was putting it together, because I got to thinking about this a little bit more. Giving God the griefs you feel in life. You know, Joseph had every right to feel bitter and resentful for all of the things that happened to him. We find, first of all, when we're introduced to him in Genesis chapter 37, here's what his brothers did. They threw him into a pit, and says the pit was empty and there was no water in it. All right, so he's in a pit to begin with. Oh, we go over to Genesis chapter 40 and verse 15. And listen to what he says now that he has been thrown into prison. Because, as you know, he was sold into slavery. And he was taken there into Egypt. And Potiphar bought him. And he worked for Potiphar. And you know the circumstances that happened with Potiphar's wife. And he's thrown into prison. And listen to what else happened. This is what Joseph says in verse 15 when he's talking there to the chief cupbearer or the butler there. He says, "For I indeed was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." This guy found himself in the pit over and over again. What does brothers do in chapter 37? Threw him in a pit. Where does Joseph find himself in Genesis 40? In a pit. Here is a man who could have harbored resentment and bitterness and anger at every turn. And he overcame. Now, how did he overcome the bitterness in his life? I want to share a few thoughts with you this evening. I hope that you'll think about these things and that they can be a blessing to you. If you're struggling with bitterness or resentment or problems in life, how did he overcome this? Well, first of all, I want you to understand that you overcome bitterness with blessings. You overcome bitterness with blessings. First, you count yours. Count your blessings. Don't keep dwelling on and thinking about all of the bad things that have happened and how you've been mistreated and how folks have done you wrong and all that thing. Nope. Quit thinking about it. Quit dwelling on it. You get over bitterness by thinking and counting your blessing. That's number one. And number two, start giving blessings. What did Paul say in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35? Quoting Jesus, he says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." It is a blessing to give. You keep giving blessings to everybody that you come in contact with. And let me tell you something, and I want you to get this. Joy and bitterness cannot occupy the same space. They can't. Joseph did not live in bitterness. In fact, every individual that he ever interacted with in his life received a blessing from him. You ever thought about that? You think about all the characters that are involved in Joseph's life, even the ones that mistreated him, and everybody was blessed by him in some way. He took that resentment, he took that bitterness, and he turned it around and said, "You know what? I'm not going to dwell on it. I am going to give these griefs over to God. I'm going to turn them over to Him. And I'm going to go about my life trying to do good for everybody that I ever come in contact with in life." Now, if you'll do that, if you'll give your griefs over to God, and if you'll count your blessings and then start giving out blessings to everybody that you come in contact with, let me tell you something. Life's going to be better. Your dreams are going to come true. You go to Genesis chapter 45 and verse 5. So Joseph said to his brothers, verse 4, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." You know, it really reminds me of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, right? all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. That means if you trust God and you continue to do His will, everything that happens to you in your life can be used as a blessing. And Joseph did that. Everything that happened to his life, in his life, he turned into a blessing in some way. And he says to his brothers here on this case, you know, I know you sold me a deal. Listen, he never forgot what happened. He never forgot. In fact, he recounts it a couple of times throughout this narrative of his life. On a few occasions, he's going to go back and he's going to say, you know, I was stolen out of the land of my fathers. I was a Hebrew and I was brought down here. I was thrown into this pit. My brothers didn't like me. I've been mistreated at times. He remembered. He never forgot about what happened to him, but he didn't let it consume him and control him. He said, I'm going to make the most out of every opportunity I have in life. And I'm not going to dwell on all the bad stuff that's happened to me. I'm going to bless somebody. I'm going to give a blessing. And he says here to his brothers, I know that you sold me here, but I don't want you to be distressed. I don't want you to be angry. What's he doing? He's easing the anguish that he probably knows his brothers have felt. And you get some insight into that because they believe that some of the things that have been happening to them, and of course Joseph was involved in that they were because of what they had done to their brother. Now, you know, I don't blame Joseph. I mean, they need a little bit, right? They need to feel a little uncomfortable. I mean, come on. He says, I don't want you to be angry with yourselves. I don't want you to feel distress anymore. I want your hearts and your minds to be at ease and at peace. Because I want you to know that God sent me here to preserve life. You were just His instruments. But it was God's working that brought me here. In Hebrews chapter 4, we can turn to this particular passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll look at verses 14 through 16 together. It says, since then we have a high priest, a great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why do we read that? Well, because it is time for us to give our griefs in life over to God. And then let's start giving out blessings in our life. You want to make your dreams come true? You can do so by giving your griefs, the griefs you feel in life, over to God. And then finally, you can make your dreams come true by giving God the gratitude for the blessings of life. Gratitude for the blessings of life. You come to Genesis chapter 50 here, the last chapter of the book. And we look at verse 20. We'll begin in verse 19. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? You see, what's happened here is Jacob has passed away, and now all of a sudden the brothers are a little nervous again. The family's nervous. Why? Well, because maybe that Joseph was just being kind to us for the sake of our father, because he loved him. And so they're a little uneasy, and they send a message to Joseph, and they acknowledge the wickedness and the evil that they've done, the sins they've committed. And here's Joseph's response to them. In fact, his brothers, what do we say? He had these outlandish dreams. They came true. His brothers, verse 18, also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. Now, that's a far cry to what we read about in 37, right? When his brother said to him, are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us? And his father even said to him and rebuked him, what is this dream that you dream? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow down ourselves to the ground before you? Verse 18, his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Well, he's giving God gratitude for the blessings. You know, the reason why I'm in this position, the reason why you have been spared, the reason why there's been the preservation of so much life is because God has blessed us. We give him the gratitude. We give him the thanks. You know, some blessings that we find come at the end of trials and difficulties. That's what James says. If we turn over to James chapter 1, I want you to read what he has to say to us there. And I hope that we come to appreciate this. It may be that you're experiencing some difficulties in your life right now. It may be that you're experiencing some trials. But the blessings come at the end of the trials. And that's what James says in James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There is a blessing that comes at the end of it. The trials that you face. If you have the right attitude, put your faith and trust in God. Give him the blessings. The gratitude. Give God the benefit of the doubt. And not the blame when things are not going like you want. We generally take the latter approach than the former. God doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. When I'm experiencing difficulties and troubles, he generally gets the blame. And not the benefit of the doubt. I'm thankful that Joseph gave God the benefit of the doubt. He said, I don't know why this is happening, and it ain't real pleasant. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to remain committed, faithful, dedicated to you, and let's see where this goes. And we got to see where it went, right? Here's where it went. He became one of the most powerful men in all the world. Second only to Pharaoh. Because of the wisdom God gave him, he was able to spare the lives of his family and multiple people that existed in that area because of the severe famine that occurred. A blessing. Let's see where this goes. Let me give you the benefit of the doubt. And then at the end, he says, I know, brothers, you meant this for evil, but God, he had a plan. He had a purpose for me. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt in life and not the blame. How to make your dreams come true. Well, if you'll do those things that we have discussed this evening, if you'll give God the glory for the accomplishments of life, if you'll give God the guiding duties for your life, if you'll give God the grief you feel in life, if you'll give God the gratitude for the blessings of life, let me tell you what's going to happen at the end of your sojourn here. Your dreams are going to come true in eternity. Maybe tonight that there's someone here that's not put their full faith and trust in God. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe that you're not a Christian this evening. Let God guide you into becoming a Christian and in living that life as a servant of His, so that he can reward you one of these days at the end of time and end of life. And if you're not a Christian, please, this evening, don't wait. You come forward and you make your life right with God, because we don't know when the end will be. You repent of your sins. You confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You be baptized to wash away those sins, raised to walk in newness of life. You put your faith and your trust and your hope in the Almighty. You'll see your dreams come true. If you need to respond this evening, we ask you to do so while we stand and sing.